Hello and welcome to the Metacall episode 202. I'm Corey and here's Daryl.
Yo!
Gotcha! Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Alright.
You want to mail it to me?
No.
I'll expect it in like 3 weeks given shipping times.
6 months probably.
6 months, yeah. Actually, stuff has been pretty quick. With the exception of like a couple of orders I've had, I've been doing a lot of like trading, buying, selling, trading over the mail lately. And some of the stuff I've ordered has come within like 4 days, which I've been really impressed with. But other stuff has taken like some stuff has been like a month and it still hasn't shown up. So, you know, it's a wild world out there. Everything's happening at once and everybody's trying to do the best they can. So. Gotta give everyone the benefit of the doubt. So anyways, I digress. We are doing a magic podcast, so we will talk about Magic the Gathering. And here we are.
We are not a coronavirus podcast.
We are not a State of the World 2020 podcast. You're here to talk about magic, which is what we do when we don't want to think about all of the bullshit on Earth these days. So we'll do that for you. We're gonna wrap up Zendikar, and we're going to talk about Zendikar and the cards that we think we'll see play in Modern and Pioneer. Last week we did black, white, and blue. So if you're interested in hearing our picks for Modern and Pioneer players in black, white, and blue, you can check that out. So pause now, go back and listen to episode 201. Otherwise, listen to this one first and go back. It doesn't need to be in that order, whatever, it doesn't matter. But before we get to it, our sponsor, ManaTraders.com, is wonderful, and you should check them out. You should use them. You should sign up for an account, and you should use the promo code ModernMetacall, all one word, for 14% off, because you might as well save some money when you're doing it.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, cool. So before we get to it, I told everybody that we'd wrap up our picks from Core 21, and I did tabulate the results. I'm not going to go through all of them, all of our picks, but we did pick a bunch of things. You can go back and listen to those podcasts if you'd like. And I have to say, we didn't do great this time. Previous scores are like in the 50s. I think our highest winning score was like 70 points. In like, 89 points. Theros Beyond Death, 89 points was a lot. That's a lot of points. But Daryl won this week, or this one, with 35 points.
So did this come from we missed stuff, or did this come from...
Well, yeah, we had a lot of lost points on here. There's a lot of negatives. I think actually about 50% of our picks were lost points, to be honest with you.
I mean, let's talk through, like, is there a card that we actually missed, though? Like, there's a difference between picking things that
missed? I don't think so. I think it's just the set really didn't have a ton of, like, players on it. But we overrated a bunch of stuff. I have to pat us on the back for a couple of things. We would be embarrassed to have not picked a few cards that like really did some good things in Modern and Pioneer. Those being Conspicuous Snoop, that card absolutely made a big impact in Modern, right? And we both picked it for Modern. Thank God we did, right? We'd look foolish not to. The other one, Stormwing Entity. Big player in both formats. Yeah? Go us. We both picked it for both formats.
Yep.
Also, Village Rights. We were wise to pick that one, and we had a good discussion about that one. We picked it for Pioneer, and actually we could have picked it for Modern, too. As of late, that black-red Rakdos Arcanist deck is the real deal, and so much the real deal that it's seen play not only in Historic and Pioneer, but now it's also seen play in Modern and, you know, a little bit Standard, too. That card is it. That is the one. You know, our conversation surrounded, like, we've seen a lot of different versions of that effect, sacrifice a creature, draw some cards, and we were like trying to decide if what it took was for it to be one mana and instant speed to get played, because it was like they couldn't make it any cheaper or faster because it was already one mana and instant speed. And so, yeah, the truth be told, that's what it takes.
Yeah.
I think the best part is like when you attack with a Dreadhorde Arcanist, like it is just a perfect fit, you know, like sacrifice a little Pyromancer token and get two cards, or, you know, gank their creature with a threatened effect, claim the Firstborn, and then, you know, turn it into some card draw.
There we go. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. But what do we lose points on? You said you were talking about See the Truth, Daryl. I was kind of bummed that one did not see a play in either format, really. Is there just too much card draw in Modern already at two mana?
I mean, I think it just kind of loses out to the same card in the set with it, Frantic Inventory, right? Like,
yeah.
Frantic Inventory, I think, is like a much more reliable setup for draw three cards.
Yeah.
Than See the Truth, apparently. Just because you do have to invest like Snapcaster Mage or Past in Flames, and at that point, like, just a couple Frantic Inventories is better.
Yeah. Yeah, every standard legal set gets some kind of juicy, like, one or two mana card draw spell to, like, thin out the, or, you know, to kind of, like, filter and, you know, make the control decks go in the early turns. Because they don't get, like, these efficient, like, one and two mana removal spells anymore. They have to kind of wait to, like, do their interactive stuff. Like, counter spells cost three mana now. Right, and there's like mass removal at like four and five, but in the early turns, like those control decks seem to need some kind of draw effect, and I think that that's kind of like the baseline for standard legal control players, and you know we're seeing it with the like what's the enchantment that scries? There's like the preordain enchantment.
Omen of the Sea.
Omen of the Seas, right? So Omen of the Seas is a great two drop that competes for the same position. We've got like now the instant speed version of that that just came out in the latest set. You know, there's like Anticipate. Like, there's just so much to choose from. So it's really tough to you know find the one that you want to be playing in Modern now because all of those are legal. So it's like it really has to be the best. Right, it has to be efficient. I think instant speed is where it's at in that format because you do have access to like two mana counter spells. So you have to have the ability to like, you know, hold up the counter mana and then pivot into a draw spell if you don't have to counter something or fatal push something or path something. Bolt.
Yep. 100% agree.
So sorcery speed, not going to happen. Nine lives, I think we missed. Is nine lives seeing play in Modern? I don't know if it is. It's definitely seeing play in Historic, and I have to believe that Nine Lives Solemnity is, if not already seeing play in Modern and Pioneer, it's going to be a thing because that mono-white control style enchantment turtle deck is the real deal. I don't like it. But we missed that one. We didn't pick it. Okay. Anyways, good job, Daryl. You beat me by five. I had 30 points.
Not bad. Not bad. Yeah, I mean, we missed Elder Gargoth. We thought it was too slow for Modern. We picked up Pioneer, but yeah. It was the real deal in the Ponza decks.
Sideboard or main deck?
I played against a couple Ponza decks that were playing like three and four at main board.
Really?
Just another five CMC.
Yeah, like, Modern Champs main deck, four copies of it. Holy moly.
Yeah, card's really good.
Yeah, this one of them doesn't have any of them at all. Here's two copies of it. Yeah, but the fourth place Modern Champs deck has four full copies of Elder Gargoth. I guess if your opponent is so behind because they're like trapped behind a Blood Moon or you're like going after their lands, like if you just resolve a five mana spell that like needs an answer, you can just like take over.
It's a five mana spell that you can't profitably trade or interact with creatures because like it has trample and vigilance. So it's like it can attack and still play defense. It can produce more creatures. It can draw cards. And like the idea of like, well, you can have a death touch creature like an Ice Fang Quaddle, but you're still taking five. Like, that's not enough. Like, it's a very negative impact for the Ice Fang Quaddle player.
It does an awful lot. Another great example of why you should sign up for a ManaTraders.com account. It's almost a necessity to play Magic online these days because with Magic Arena, no one's opening standard packs, it seems. Like, you can draft on Arena, so the standard cards are not getting, like, cracked in Modo. And then the Mythics in these new sets are, like, this card is $50 a piece. A playset is 185 tickets. It's crazy.
What?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Yeah, for four digital objects. I mean, it's one of the most expensive cards in this deck. Just behind Seasoned Pyromancer, which is just completely out of control. Like, I understand the printing limitations right now with the pandemic, Like, we're having problems with jump start, right? Like, if you've seen that, like, little elf guy, the one mana elf that your green spells can't be countered, the card's like $100 because jump start packs have been like really hard to come by. Printing is down. They're pledging to make more. I think that they are coming out with more jump start availability now, but prior to that, like, legacy players are really clamoring to get a hold of those, and like the value of some of those jump start rares is like super high. Muxus, for example. But online, there's no reason that we should have scarcity of this mythic digital object.
I agree. But
I digress. Okay, let's go on. Zendikar. Shall we?
Yeah, what color are we doing?
All right, we're going to blast through this. We're going to go kind of quick because I want to get through the end of this Zendikar. I have to say, this set is not very exciting to me as far as power level. If we've seen a lot of powerful sets in the past, I feel like we're back down to the bottom of the curve here. And I may be completely wrong in that. I think I might, you know, it's possible that 3 weeks from now, I'm going to be embarrassed by that comment because, like, this landfall stuff is just going to be, it's going to, you know, prove me wrong. But I don't think that's the case. I think there is just a lot of, like, really overcosted stuff. Now, we went really fast last week. We missed something. I want to go back and just circle around. There's a black card we didn't talk about that we have to. Skyclave Shade. Skyclave Shade is 1 and a black for a rare shade. It's a 3/1. It can't block. It has kicker, 2 and a black. And it also has landfall. But when it's kicked, so you can pay 5 mana for it, and when it's kicked for 5, it comes into play with 2+1/+1 counters on it. So for 5 mana, you get a 5/3 that can't block. But the landfall trigger is whenever land enters the battlefield under your control, if Skyclave Shade is in your graveyard and it's your turn, you may cast it from your graveyard this turn.
Okay.
It's kind of like a bad blood ghast. With the upside of being like an actual like aggressive game ending creature when you have 5 mana.
Okay.
Not a relevant creature type. Shade is pretty superfluous. But
the most irrelevant thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. But 5 damage that, you know, just demands exile is nothing to scoff at. Especially in a format where you can just like stockpile like uncracked fetch lands, you know, and have extra copies of this guy.
Most of one of in those decks, but I just don't see it.
Okay. I think I want it for Pioneer. I want it in the mono black decks in Pioneer.
So mono black and Pioneer, I'm interested in. Okay, yeah. So you had me thinking uncracked fetch lands. Like, it's terrible for Modern.
Yeah, so I guess I'm just trying to bait you into picking for Modern because it's all part of a strategy now that I lost last week, but you didn't buy that. So you pick it for Pioneer too?
I'm down for Pioneer.
All right, fine.
Yeah, like it's a 3/1. Like three power creatures are like very good at 2 cents.
Yeah, yes, they are. Yes, so, and this one is just like completely expendable, which is usually the problem with that stat line.
You can't just trade your 3/1s in, like. Well, so like, if you play 3/1, if you play 3/1 for 2, you're like not interested in trading it.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I want to get a good attack to get 3 in.
Yeah.
But with this guy, you can just like send it every turn. And not care.
Okay. Red. All right, moving on. So we're going to do red, green, gold, artifact and land today. So red cards. Cinderclasm. Cinderclasm is 1 and a red for an instant with kicker, 1 red. So for 3 mana, you can pay the kickered version. Baseline, it does 1 damage to each creature at instant speed, and then when it's kicked, it deals 2 damage to each creature instead.
I don't think this is good enough.
Yeah, definitely not for Modern.
2 damage is not the number for Modern. I don't think 2 damage is the number for Pioneer either, really. Like, I mean, I guess it's modal, so you can kill 8 dorks or whatever, like the deck. But like, I'm not really interested in this.
Kozilek's Return is Pioneer legal, yes.
Yeah, it's in Battle for Zendikar.
So that card gets played in the mono red decks because of the fact that it can pump up your prowess guys, and then they survive it. I'm wondering if there's a reason why you'd opt for like 2 mana, 1 damage to each creature in Pioneer. And I don't think that there really is. Like, there's not like a lot of 1 toughness creatures in that format, it seems.
So, Kozilek's turn is easy to cast, and it kills protection from red creatures. So I feel like you just always opt for Kozilek's turn.
Yeah, it's not really. It doesn't really matter that it's easier to cast in that deck, but yeah, I agree that like yeah, 1 red versus 2 red in the cost is strictly easier to cast. All right, yeah, passing on it in both formats. Okay. Cleansing Wildfire, 1 in red for a sorcery. This one's a common. Destroy target land. Its controller may search their library for a basic land card, put it onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle their library, draw a card.
Oh.
Have you seen this one, Daryl?
No. Ooh. Hold on. Welcome. Look at this.
Yeah, this is like potentially like Tron Hate. Now, like, red has a lot of Tron Hate already. The question is, like, does this pair with, like, some hate bear stuff and like red white hate bears, or do you want this with Leonin Arbiter?
I want it with like Leonin Arbiter or the Bird Wizard, Aven Mind Sensor. There's the word.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think that's very good with those. And this is just also like a very good snapcasterable graveyard hate or like Tron hate card. Like, it's like, all right,
yeah,
kill your Tron land and cantrip. And then like turn 4 before you can try and get in line again, kill your Tron land and cantrip. Like this feels like a winner for modern. Certainly. I don't think it's good for Pioneer.
Yeah. I think I'd have to agree with that. Grabbing a basic is pretty nice. Consider like that Eldrazi Tron only plays like 1 and 2, sometimes 1 basic lands in the deck. Like, if you are Snapcaster Maging this card and they draw a basic, like, this very quickly is just Sinkhole, draw a card. And that seems like pretty good value to me.
Yeah. And I think that's the only thing you're going to want it against. Like, maybe it's like Mono Red gets an answer to man lands where they can use their bolts somehow else, but like, I mean, it just depends on like what you're doing. And I think that this one is certainly one for the blue red X decks.
Yeah.
The way they're going to interact with Tron from now on, to go alongside Blood Moon. Also worth noting, if you're in a multicolor red deck, you can play this in your sideboard against Blood Moon. Against like Ponza, and then blow up your non-basics and go get basics.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Like, you have it for other purposes, but you bring it in when you're up against that deck.
When you're up against Ponza, because you can like get out from under Blood Moons. So, like, because it is red, so it's just like they Blood Moon you and you're all fetch lands. And so you go like, fetch land, this thing, kill my fetch land, go get a basic forest or island or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so you pick it for modern only. Same here.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one is potentially a pioneer, like aggressive creature here. Kargan Intimidator, 1 in red for a 3/1. Coward, it's a human warrior. Cowards can't block warriors. Here we are back with this. Remember this guy from Future Sight? I mean, this. I
love it.
It's a callback to Future Sight. Different card. It has 1 mana activated ability. Choose one that hasn't been chosen this turn. You can give it +1/+1 until end of turn. Target creature becomes a coward until end of turn, or target warrior gains trample until end of turn.
I 100% think this is playable in Pioneer. Like, this is a 4/2. Like, when you don't have stuff to do with your mana, it's just like a 4/2 unblockable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty strong.
Like, yeah, like, I mean, and it can just, like, give itself trample. So it's like a 4/2 trample, and if you need it to be unblockable, you can make it unblockable. Like, that seems very good. Like,
I'm wondering if there's something with the cowards can't block warriors, like tribal, because warriors are a pretty common creature type, and I feel like there's maybe more benefit that can be had with that aside from just this guy. Like, obviously, the main draw is, like, this guy is just a creature that does things, right? But there might be some extra effect to that. There's probably some aggressive creatures that are worth playing that just happen to be warriors too. From the history of the game that they kind of work with that. So,
I mean, I think in cons, Warriors was a thing because there's like this Mardu. Because I remember Mardu Woe Reaper was like a one mana white 2/1 that when a warrior entered the battlefield, you got to like exile a card from the graveyard or something like that, like a creature card.
Oh, yeah.
Or gain some life or something like that. So, like, I think warriors were certainly a thing in cons. So, there's some pretty good warriors.
Yeah.
And so, it's like, the whole thing is like, how do you make things cowards? So, like, can you, like, give your opponent stuff changeling till end of turn or whatever?
Like, yeah. I wish there were some creatures that were commonly played that just happened to be cowards already. But,
coward, 100%. Like, dubious screwball.
Yeah. All right, I picked this one for Pioneer, too. I think this one's a good utility knife to throw in into an aggressive red deck. I don't know where it fits, though. That's the problem. Because, like, the red decks in Pioneer are, like, the prowess decks. And I don't know that this guy really belongs in there. So, maybe, like, a green-red, like, a Gruul Stompy type list.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one I have up is Kazul's Fury, which is a fling. It's an instant speed fling, 2 and a red, 3 mana. But it is a flip card that flips into a tapped mountain. So, the problem... Yeah.
Yeah.
In what?
Modern.
In Modern. For what?
I think, so like, I watched Saffron Olive talk about these things before and talk about Balustrade Spy and Oops All Spells style decks.
Oh my god, really? Oh, I didn't even consider that. Yeah.
But the thing I'm actually buying it for is Mono Red Belcher.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Have all the rituals to put Goblin Char Belcher in play, and you have all the flip lands to like activate Goblin Char Belcher and have no lands in your deck and kill them.
So you're just by default gonna buy all the flip cards that flip into red mana then?
Correct.
Do you for modern. Oh, all right. So for modern. Yeah. How about this card like in a vacuum of not just being abused?
Not being stupid. It comes into play tapped, so it's just not good enough. Like, people don't play Fling in Modern, so like Fling's, so it's not gonna see play. Pioneer, I don't think people play Fling. So like the question is you have to evaluate is Fling even played? And then the answer is no. So like Fling that's also a mountain, don't really think it's gonna see play. Because most of the time you want your burn spells to not have to have a creature attached to them.
I'm just wondering if like Fling doesn't see play because it's just conditionally just a dead card. And when this is a dead card, it's like it you could just have it be a land, right? And so like a one of like a throw into like a Death Shadow deck, for example, like this could be like, you know, the third copy of Temur Battle Rage type.
Sure, but Death Shadow's never interested in a basic mountain. And especially a basic mountain that comes into play tapped.
Yeah, that's true.
And you don't want to sacrifice your Death Shadow. And it's still a dead card in situations where it's dead. So, like, it's dead because you don't have a creature, and you need gas, and you draw this, and you basically drew a land. Okay. So that's a dead card. So, like, it's not good in places where it's dead, unless you're doing unfair things with it, like playing Belcher.
Okay. Well, I feel like I have to buy it for the stupid Belcher plan and the Balustrade Spy plan. Someone's going to do something dumb with it there, but I also feel like I think there's something with this. Like, this seems like a kill condition for a deck that, you know, that just happens to have, like, a large creature, and this is just, like, a stalemate breaker that's just easy to, like, toss in as, like, a one, you know, a single copy.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening. But, yeah. The question that got brought up to me when I watched the Saffron Olive thing is, like, now I want to retroactively go back and buy all the black ones. And, like, do you buy all the white ones or all the green ones? Like, which ones see play? And so it's, like, that's the kind of tough part. And I was, like, well, I punted because I forgot Balustrade Spy was a card in Modern. So we just get, like, an Oops All Spells thing. But how many lands do you have to play in Oops All Spells, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of... retrospect.
So for context, Balustrade Spy is 3 and a black for like a 2/3 rogue or vampire or something like that, right? Doesn't matter the creature type anyways. Enters the battlefield, you flip over cards from the top of your deck until you hit a land.
Yep.
And then what do? You mill your opponent for each card revealed?
I think, no, I don't remember.
Let me pull it up, because it does matter.
Mill you. I think it's perfect. Just mill you out. Yeah.
Okay. Target player reveals cards from the top of his or her library until he or she reveals a land card and puts those cards into his or her graveyard. Oh, so it just mills you. So you're basically putting your entire deck in your graveyard. And then what do you try to do? You try to Thassa's Oracle to kill them?
Yeah, Thassa's Oracle. Like, whatever tomfoolery nonsense you can do from your graveyard and or hand to kill them.
Doesn't the Legacy deck usually do, Angel of Glory's Rise with the, there's a reanimator spell that you can cast by sacrificing creatures?
Yeah, so Dread Return is a modern legal Dread because Return, they banned.
Yeah, so that one's banned. Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't work. But yeah,
there's got to be some sort of tomfoolery I expect that you can do with this. But, just the concept of oops, all spells is just going to be a thing now. It's just like, okay, people are just going to play these Zendikar double face lands, so they have no lands in their deck, and then do some weird combo-y thing.
Yeah, this will place just because it's gonna be forced through a league at some point. But I don't think this deck is good. Let me make that clear. I think this is a very fickle strategy, and I think it's a terrible deck. And it is nowhere near the level of Neoform, even though it is similarly stupid to that deck. But to play a deck that relies on comes into play tapped lands and probably some number of Simeon Spirit Guides, right? To resolve a 4-mana, it is a Vampire Rogue, by the way. I got that right.
Nice.
It's just it seems awful.
Yeah, I mean, you have 8 copies because you have the one that's 3-mana, pay 1, sack a creature,
yeah,
and it just sacks itself. So you have 8 3-mana or 4-mana mill your whole decks that somehow I'm stupid. My brain figured it out. You just play Unearth. You just Unearth your Thassa's Oracle.
Oh yeah, you can do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or
it took my brain.
Claim to Fame, right?
Yeah. Some generic Unearth type nonsense. Yes.
Yeah. So you do. So yeah. So the black dual face cards are needed for this then too. Okay. Anyways, we got to keep going. We both buy Kazul's Fury for stupid reasons. I can go back and put us down for the black ones if you want, but I think we should just keep moving.
I think we're going to keep moving. How you doing? Keep moving, Link.
All right. Magmatic Channeler is up next. This card had some discussion because I think a lot of people are always looking for the next Arclight Phoenix enabler type, and I don't think this is it. But Magmatic Channeler is definitely interesting. 1 in a red for a human wizard. It's a rare. As long as there are 4 or more instants and or sorceries in your graveyard, it gets +3/+1. It is a 1/3, so it becomes a 4/4 then. It has tap, discard a card, exile the top 2 cards of your library, then choose one of them. You may play that card this turn.
Oh, this guy is way less good than I thought it was.
Yeah, it's cool. It is a human wizard, 2 relevant creature types. Being a human is irrelevant based on the fact that this card has nothing to do with the human's deck. But the effect is cool. And the fact that this can become a 4/4 is cool, but in the context of modern power level, not so useful.
No, it's going to die before then. Because you don't have looting and stuff to fill your graveyard as effectively, you're thought scouring and hoping to hit instants. And then I thought the effect was you get 2 cards instead of just one of the 2. So that, the effect is, the tap effect is meh. Not really interested.
I mean, realistically, are you going to be able to play both of them? It's likely that you're going to hit a land, so I don't know.
I mean, land spell, it's more for, in the late game, you have this guy in play, and you're just like, all right, untap, draw. If it's not a good card, you discard it and get 2 cards instead.
Yeah. Yeah, you can definitely see where this guy would fit into a Phoenix style deck, but the creature spot in those decks is just so tight, and there's so many blue or red or blue and red creatures that you'd want to put in that slot that this guy just, I don't think he makes the cut.
Agreed.
So I think you got to pass on him. I think you need something a little more immediate, like the common dude that just loots, on the adventure guy that loots. Rather than a guy that has to sit in play, survive a turn, and then be able to do his thing. Because if you're not playing creatures and the creatures that you are playing are Arclight Phoenixes, all of their removal is going to be pointed at this Magmatic Channeler. And it's not going to survive long enough to provide any benefit to you.
No.
So I don't think this one sees play. It's possible that Pioneer is interested in it for other purposes. Like, it could be like a sideboard thing for like the mono red decks where they're just like looking for like more longevity. Because they do like kind of run through their hand a bit. And this guy is a 4/4. I think I'll pick it for that purpose, but I'm not terribly optimistic about that one either, to be honest with you. But I'm willing to take a chance on it.
Yeah, and that's for Pioneer?
Yeah, Pioneer, mono red, sideboard.
Okay, I will pass, but...
Okay. All right, this next guy I wanted to bring up, I honestly don't think this will see much play in either format. Potentially Pioneer, potentially some Pioneer decks, but this guy, mostly I'm appalled by the fact that it exists because of the fact that it's going to be an awful fucking commander to deal with. Morag, Fury of Akum. Have you seen this guy? I hate Baller. This card. Who signed off on this shit?
I did, because I want one for my Xenagos deck where I put it in play, attack with my 12-12, play a fetch land, untap, attack you, break it, untap, attack you.
It's just so boring.
Play a cultivate, untap, attack you, like, and double its power all the way up.
Yeah,
like,
it's dumb. You shouldn't get to just, win the game for 6 mana. So
I mean, in Commander, no, I don't think you should get to win the game.
Like,
for 6
this
mana.
Guy needs to cost 8, I think. But he costs
6.
Yeah,
but they want him to be pushed. He'll get played in Standard a ton. Like, I watched.
Yeah.
Like a 40 land deck that Sam Black had developed with this guy that like had Lotus Cobra in it that could only cast the white flip double face land, the make 4/4s.
Yeah.
It could only cast it off of playing lands with Lotus Cobra in play. It was like green red ramp that could only cast this triple white card off of Lotus Cobra.
White source? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And probably worked just fine, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, I watched. Literally, the game I watched, they casted the card 3 times.
Oh,
off
Jesus.
Of double. It was
really
dumb.
Yeah, Standard is abysmal right now, I hear. It's just all freaking ramp, landfall stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the Zendikar landfall means ramp's going to be good.
Yeah. Anyways, we should probably read this card, huh? So 4 red for 6/6 legendary creature. Minotaur Warrior. Here's a warrior. Each creature you control gets +1/+0 for each time it has attacked this turn, which doesn't need to be on this card, by the way. Landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, if it's your main phase, thank God, so that you can't just Uro into infinite attack phases, right? There's an additional combat phase after this phase. At the beginning of that combat phase, untap all creatures you control. So fetch land into play, you get an extra combat phase. Correct the fetch land, you get an extra combat phase. After that, you can attack 3 times in one turn. I mean, like, just explosive vegetation, scape shift, for example. Like, it's just dumb.
That's a lot of combat.
I hate this.
That's a lot.
I hate this card.
So actually, the way that thing works is you get extra combat steps, but your creatures don't untap. So, like, I watched it happen. If you play a land pre-combat, you get an extra combat step, but it doesn't untap your creature. The landfall trigger untaps your creature, and then not the extra combat.
At the beginning of that combat, untap all creatures you control.
Wait, does it really say that?
Yes.
Am I just terrible at reading?
It says at the beginning of that combat, untap all creatures you control.
You can't do it. Huh. It's interesting. I watched it happen on Arena, where if you play it main phase 1, it doesn't work the way you want it. And so it might just be a problem with Arena's code.
That could be. Or, you have to put the lands in play during your main phase. So I don't know
right,
if that was
so like,
part of the issue. But
so the person, it was LSV I was watching. LSV in day 9, they played this thing. They had it in play. They played a land main phase 1. Attacked and only got to attack once. So I think it's probably based on the way the card reads, a problem with Arena's code and not the card itself. But yeah, I digress. I think this is Pioneer playable. I think this is the top end. Like, it just ends the game by itself. You just play it and pass, and if they don't kill it, they lose.
Yeah, which is great. Like, we need more cards like that, right? Because, this game isn't, swingy enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm
so salty about this. I just like this game has become more and more like this. Like as the power level creeps up, we just have more cards that just require so much to deal with. And this guy doesn't require much more than a kill spell to deal with. But if the conditions are right, and if you draw this card with access to, like, you know, a couple of land drops, it doesn't matter if you have a kill spell, because he's already done all of the things he needs to do to kill you before you even get the opportunity to target him with a kill spell. Yeah. Because you don't ever get priority before you get an extra combat phase. Like, if this card resolves, you get to play a land and trigger the landfall once, you know, before it's even targeted with the removal spell.
Other creatures in play, you get the extra combat phase too. That's a nice one.
Yes, other creatures in play. Yeah,
like green red mid rangey stuff. That seems pretty good.
So
yeah.
I'm saying, like,
I'm just buying Pioneer,
best case scenario in a deck that is non blue, if where you don't counter this guy, like you have an instant speed removal spell ready to go for this guy. Yeah, you just it doesn't freaking matter. It's stupid. All right, yeah. So I'm picking him for Pioneer too. I think he's a good top end for like this green red Gruul Stompy deck that is hypothetical. It doesn't really exist, but perhaps it should. I think we're getting more and more critters for
good
it.
Good stomper. Yeah.
And
so
maybe it does exist. I don't know. I'm not really familiar with what Pioneer looks like these days, but it used to.
Do you have anything else in the red section?
Yeah, I do. I'm sorry. Okay, so Roiling Vortex is the... we got to talk about this one. Roiling Vortex is one in a red for an enchantment. It's a rare. At the beginning of each player's upkeep, it deals one damage to them. Whenever a player casts a spell, if no mana was spent to cast it, Roiling Vortex deals five damage to that player. You can pay one red. Your opponents can't gain life this turn.
I don't know if this is good enough.
It's very hard to evaluate. It's clearly like a sideboard card for like a red deck.
I don't think it's good enough.
Okay.
Like, because realistically, in your red deck, you only have to stop your opponent from gaining life once. Yeah. And I'd rather it just be stapled to a three damage spell immediately than like a Skullcrack.
Yeah.
Than to like play this and have to wait three turns to get your payoff, even though you could stop them from gaining life multiple times.
Yeah. Where does the no-mana thing come in Modern?
I mean, Once Upon a Time was a card. Like, there are cards that do it. Once Upon a Time, Mox Opal was a card that would have done it. Like Mishra's Bauble. Yeah, because you're not paying any mana. You just pay zero. So, like, Force of Negation is shut off by this, or they take five.
Yeah, I just don't see where Burn cares about that stuff, really.
Stuff like that. Like, any suspend card takes five.
At the beginning of each player's upkeep, Roiling Vortex deals one damage to them. I mean, this could be a Skullcrack. Like, in over three turns, it deals three damage to them, right?
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I said that. I was like, I'd rather have it up front. Like, because Burn is not like this steady, slow 1 point over time deck. It's like front loaded and trying to do a ton of damage. So, like, steady damage over time isn't, like, what you're looking for. Because if the game grinds on, like, sure, this is 1 point at a time. And if the game grinds on, you just have a point in play.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not good enough, I don't think.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I think Skullcrack is better, too. I think you talked me into it. All right, Shattered Skull Smashing is the Mythic Flip in red.
We already talked about that. It's going to be good. I think it's Pioneer playable, too. Just, like, the card is... very, very good.
Yeah, same. Big. I mean, anything that can just like be used as a big mana payoff, in the way that this can, is just worth looking at.
So worth noting, it doesn't deal damage to players.
Yeah,
just creatures and planeswalkers. But it's also a land. So, like, it's a land and a removal spell.
Okay, so same case here for Spikefield Hazard is the next card. It flips into a land. This one's an instant that deals one damage to any target. If a permanent was dealt damage this way, it would die. Exile it instead. I think this card is just good in general, though. I feel like this fills... it's like kind of a niche little player index that care about spell quantity. Just being a one-mana instant that deals damage. It does say any target, and it does say exile. So I like this a lot for many, many different purposes.
Yeah, I mean, it's Modern. One mana. It's a land. It's playable in Modern because it's a land.
Yeah, and Modern and Pioneer for me.
I think it's both, yeah.
Valakut Exploration is 2 and a red for an enchantment. Landfall, whenever land enters the battlefield under control, exile the top card of your library. You may play that card for as long as it remains exiled. At the beginning of your end step, if there are cards exiled with Valakut Exploration, put them into their owner's graveyard. Then it deals damage, deals that much damage to each opponent. This is really good. This is like a reverse Phyrexian Arena, you know? Like,
well, I mean, it gives you it's options arena. It's like a Chandra, basically, like 4-mana Chandra. You can play your land and choose to play the card off of it, or you can just ping your opponent. Like, it's options arena, and I think I think that this is playable in both formats.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, if you consider at the very least, if you don't cast the spells, you're just dealing 1 damage for every land you put into play, and that's a game ender. Like.
Yeah, like the difference between this and the Roiling Vortex is Roiling Vortex is 1 mana, whereas this could be just like a big dumb thing or 1 damage.
Yeah.
So, and like in Modern, this thing is amplified greatly with fetch lands. This is basically Red's answer to Tireless Tracker.
Yeah. Yeah, this card is nuts, I think. This one is, I haven't heard much talk about this one. I got to pick some of these up for Commander, actually. Now that I'm looking at this.
That card's very good.
By the way, I put both of us down for both formats for this next one already. Valakut Awakening. Have you looked at this one?
No.
Okay, 2 and a red for an instant. Put any number of cards from your hand on the bottom of your library, then draw that many cards plus 1. It's a rare. But don't worry, it flips into a mountain on the other side of it. So, for obvious reasons, this fits the void of all of the combo decks that care about these free spells.
Yeah. Well, not free, but...
free lands. Lands that don't count as lands, whatever you want to call them.
Correct. The way I was looking at it is it's good for the combo decks who also just are, like trying to mix up their hands and, like, you know, get rid of the bad cards.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah.
This card is
insane. This one's going to be a Commander staple, I think, too. Like, red decks are like all about this whole extra, you know, card filtering stuff, and might as well put it on a mountain, right? You might as well throw it in every red deck ever built.
I mean, why not?
And I think that one belongs. It's tough to evaluate because it doesn't put them in the graveyard, and that would be nuts if it did, but I think that belongs in like some of the like ad nauseum type of spell combo decks too. Potentially, like, I don't know about Storm because of the graveyard stuff, but I don't know. That filtering is just so valuable.
You just get a glut of garbage in your hand. Plus, it's an instant, so that is a very relevant piece of text on that card.
Yeah. Now, ad nauseum isn't a red deck, so that's not a good example of one. But that style spell combo deck. Anyways, last one for red. Wayward Guide Beast is 1 red for a rare creature beast with trample and haste for a 2/2. When it deals combat damage to a player, return a land you control to its owner's hand. That's a real weird one. That's a big drawback.
It's like a landfall enabler. Uh-huh. So like, if your deck is all 1 and 2 drops, like this card doesn't really have a drawback.
I mean, it kind of does. Like, if you're Goblin Guiding them, like, you're like, imagine you're playing turn 1 Goblin Guide, like, usually that creature is unblocked, right? So like, if you're connecting with this quote-unquote Goblin Guide and you're doing it repeatedly, this creature's got trample, you may never reach your second land, you know, for the turn.
True.
And it's possible that doesn't really quite matter that much in like a mono red deck, because your spells cost like 1 and 2 mana max. But there may be times where you like just can't afford to attack with this guy because you're like, I need 2 lands to play Skullcrack, for example.
I mean, it's still just a 1 mana 2/2.
That's fair, and it's very good. But
yeah,
Goblin Guide's
better. I don't think it's Modern playable, but I think it's Pioneer playable.
What,
just
so?
Like 1 mana 2/2. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm gonna take it Pioneer.
All right, I'm gonna pass on it.
I have one for Modern that I think that is not on the list that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
I have to get back to the spoiler. I accidentally clicked off of it. And that is Okum Hellhound. It's just 1 and a red. It's just a red for a 1/01. It's just basically a step links. It's a red for an 0/01 step links.
Oh, yeah. Yep, for Modern. Yeah, that's a good one. I just totally overlooked that guy. That is really good. I think I have to follow suit on that one, to be honest with you. That is a potential 4 mana or 4 damage attacker on turn 2 in like a There's got to be a Landfall Zoo deck after this set, right? I don't know how good it is.
I played against a Landfall Zoo deck yesterday, and I was just playing like random pickup games.
Yeah.
It's really strong. Like It has 8 1 mana step lynxes, and then there's a gold card that I'm gonna pick that we'll talk about here in a minute that is also pretty damn good in the Landfall Zoo deck. And then they were playing like the top end of like what you sideboard into against like controlling or like mid rangey strategies is like Renegade Rallyer and Tireless Tracker.
Yeah.
You have Renegade Rallyer to provide you lava axes if you play fetch lands. Like you play a fetch land on 3, crack it, Renegade Rallyer, get it back. That's 4 damage with an extra 2 damage for all your landfall creatures too. Like it's real dumb.
Did you say lava axes?
I mean, it's functionally like it's 4 damage fetch lands. Like you.
Oh yeah.
With your landfall creatures.
Yeah, Rallyer is a sweet card. Man, that sounds really fun. I love the fact that you can go up to Tireless Tracker in that build.
Yeah.
Makes me think you could get even more greedy and put Knight of the Reliquary in there. If it doesn't belong, that's a little too greedy.
It does. So let's move on to the next.
Okay, all right, green. Ancient Green Warden, speaking of green, Ancient Green Warden is a 6 mana, 4 green for a 5/7 elemental. It's a mythic. It has reach. You may play land cards from your graveyard. That's usually pretty good. If a land entering the battlefield causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that happens an additional time.
Whoa.
I mean, this is definitely a commander staple.
I don't think it's a modern playable.
No.
Question is stuff in Pioneer?
Is Ramanop Excavator good enough in Pioneer?
I don't think so.
So, like, would you pay double for it for, like, a win more version of it?
I mean, is Field of the Dead a legal magic card in Pioneer? I actually don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Because if it is, like, your land's making just literally infinite zombies. It's kind of...
I don't think you need to do that with Field of the Dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's really not necessary.
All right. You convinced me.
Field of the Dead is banned in Pioneer, by the way.
Oh, all right. I'm out on this card now. See you later.
Yeah, this card is strictly Commander, and it's probably going to see some play in Standard. Okay.
Oh,
Ashaya, Soul of the Wild. 3 green for an XX legendary creature elemental. This creature's power and toughness are equal to the number of lands you control. Non-token creatures you control are forests in addition to their other types. The more and more I think about this card, the more and more I hear people talk about it, the more awesome I think it is, and I feel like I have to build it in Commander because, man, there's some sweet things you can do. There's a lot of Wrath stuff that says destroy all non-land permanents. I don't think that's a modern strategy or really a Pioneer strategy for that matter, but this card's cool. I figured we had to mention it.
Interesting. I mean, I'm buying this in Pioneer.
What do you see happening within Pioneer?
I think it's just like basically like the mono green mid-range deck that played like the 5/4s or whatever. Mm-hmm. It turns all your Landwar Elves or all your Landwar Elves pump this thing on top of all the lands you control pumping this thing. Because it turns all your creatures into lands and it has power and toughness equal to your lands.
Yeah.
And so
it
like,
has no evasion or anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Like, your vote didn't have any evasion.
Your vote didn't cost 5 mana.
That's fair. Okay, I'm an idiot. Take this thing off my board.
I mean, I don't think the allure of this guy is that he's a 5 mana giant creature. Like, he's definitely going to be that. But there's a lot of stuff that can happen with this guy that's really tricky and cool. And, like, there's also some, like... there's some liability with your creatures being lands too, but like untap, like creatures that say like untap 2 target lands, for example, are really kind of fancy with this dude. Like spells that say like untap all your creatures are really fancy, like that kind of stuff. Wilderness Reclamation. What about that? You know, like does this guy belong in Wilderness Reclamation type of deck? So I don't know. I think he might be a little too cute for Pioneer, and like he's kind of killable. Probably too killable, but
yeah,
he's really powerful, no doubt. I think I'll pass on it.
All right, I'm passing too.
Okay, Inscription of Abundance. I really like these inscriptions, but I don't know what to really make of them. I think this is the best one though. One in a green for an instant. It's got kicker, two in a green, so it can cost 5 mana. It says, choose one. If the spell is kicked, choose any number instead. The first option is put 2+1/+1 counters on target creature. The next one is target player gains X life, where X is the greatest power of creatures you control. And the last one is target creature you control fights target creature you don't control. Instant speed fight is worth a look, right? For 2 mana. Instant speed fight is green removal. Counters on creatures is big for Pioneer. But Walking Ballista is now banned in this format. And I think that might be problematic for decks that care about counters. Problematic.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I think it's probably worth passing for that. But then the question is like, does like the mono green decks want this kind of thing? And it's probably not the case. So okay, gotta pass. All right. Kazandu Mammoth. Kazandu Mammoth is 1 green for a 3/3 elephant. It's a rare. It has landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, Kazandu Mammoth gets +2/+2 until end of turn. But flip side, it's a tapped forest.
Yeah, this card's playable in mono green and Pioneer.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is potentially modern playable. Company target.
I mean, let's be realistic. All of the flippy lands are modern playable because they could just be oops. But like, do you want to buy the green ones too?
I do. I want to buy this one. This one has upside of just being a good card. Outside of the fancy.
I don't think so.
Combo deck. You don't think so? Okay. Well, I do. I mean, I think there's a mono green stompy deck out there already, and mono green stompy decks want to mitigate some land flood problems. And this is a very aggressive creature that can do so effectively.
All right. Okay. Lotus Cobra.
That is not new to any format, is it?
That is definitely new to Pioneer, sir.
Is it?
Yeah, it's printed in Zendikar.
Zendikar is in Pioneer.
Original Zendikar is not in Pioneer.
No? Okay. All right.
No.
Tell me more.
No, that's super old. It's Lotus Cobra. One in a green, 2/1 snake, land enters the battlefield, make a mana of any color. This card is just good. Like, going to turn 4, like, having a 2/1 that puts you at 4 on 3, and if you play Fabled Passage, like, it's not a tempo loss, and if you play Fabled Passage on turn 4, you have 6 mana, like, this card is good.
Yep, alright, I'll pick it for Pioneer, too.
Yep.
Scoot Swarm, this card is nuts in draft. It's like kind of crazy for potentially Pioneer too, probably not modern. 2 in a green, rare mana or rare creature. Landfall, whenever land, it's a 1/1, sorry, insect. Whenever land enters the battlefield under your control, create a 1/1 green insect creature token. If you control 6 or more lands, create a token that's a copy of Scoot Swarm instead.
So you don't really get a payoff until the second land. Then you're starting to pay off, but you're only making 1/1s.
Yeah, you're only making 1/1s.
If this was like Scoot Mob, where they were like, got bigger, then okay, I'm interested.
Yeah.
But I don't think like 1/1s are pretty easy to clean up.
The sixth land means like they go nuts. Like this is kind of it feels like Field of the Dead when it's online, but it's like much easier to deal with and like, you know, obviously it dies to Wrath.
That is.
Yeah, so
the sweeper kills the entire thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, but this card, if someone's got it in limited, it's just like game over. The 6 mana. Turn Timber Symbiosis is the green mythic flip card. I know the case you're going to make about the combo decks with this one, obviously, but let's talk about it from the perspective of does this get played for other reasons. 4 green for mythic. Look at the top 7 cards of your library. You may put a creature card from among them with converted mana cost 3 or less. You may put a creature card from among them onto the battlefield. If that card has converted mana cost 3 or less, it enters with 3 additional +1/+1 counters on it.
So you can, it's 7 mana, cheat a creature into play. If it's time, you make it bigger.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty terrible.
You don't like it?
I mean, at 7 mana.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a forest, basically. Because, like, at 7 mana, you don't want a crappy creature, and you can cast most of the creatures you cheat into play.
Yep. Yeah, that's fair. It does effectively, like, draw 7 cards, though, when you have a bunch of mana. Like, if you think of it like that.
No, you only draw 1 card, right?
I mean, look at the top 7 cards of your library. So, like, if you have this land in your hand, and you're, like, you know, looking for your payoff, like, this land becomes the top 7 cards of your library. You know, you get to search for the payoff.
Sure, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
So, I would like it for Modern.
Okay. I will gladly pass.
Okay. Vastwood Fortification is flip card, flips into a land, obviously. 1 green for an instant, put a +1/+1 counter on a target creature. Very simple. Very clean.
I mean, for unfair reasons, yes, but for fair reasons, no, I can't.
Okay, do you want it? Do you really want it for fair reasons or unfair reasons? I'll put you down for Modern.
I mean, I'm just not going to buy the green ones, but like, I'm going to make the statement of, we could all look stupid because everyone will just play all of these for unfair reasons. But like, I only think the ones that are worth buying are the black and red ones because they directly link to like the combo color that I can see.
Yeah.
Okay, just make that statement.
This one's interesting. Like in Standard, this one does some interesting things with like the premier removal spell in Standard is Heartless Act, right? Isn't that what that's called?
Yeah.
One in a black. And so like this is like a real nice foil to the Heartless Act.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's really a factor for Pioneer so much. So I don't know. It's a nice little combat trick, but the drawback of being a tapped land is kind of funky. So I think I'll pass, but I do like this card. Okay, the first gold card I have, I already put you down for because you already talked about it. So you want to talk about Brushfire Elemental? Do you know how that works off the top of your head?
It's a 1 and a red for, or green and a red for a 1/1 elemental with haste. Can't be blocked by creatures with power 2 or less, and when a land enters the battlefield, it gains +2/+2 till end of turn.
Yeah. That card's nuts.
Yeah. That card is like the bedrock of this landfall deck I was talking about. Like, it's pretty insane.
I mean, this is extremely pushed. Like, this is... I forgot about this card when we were talking about that other landfall card until you brought it up, but it's like, if that card, this card, and, like, step lengths don't make that deck possible, like, landfall... Zoo is never going to be a thing because Brushfire Elemental has evasion and has haste and it just becomes a 5/5 the turn it's the next turn. It's just you can't ask for much more than that.
No, you cannot.
So the question is like, is there anything in Pioneer that would allow this to be possible? Like, you know, we have Fabled Passage. Fabled Passage is really awkward for these decks, but is there like, can you force landfall in those decks?
I mean, you could just play Evolving Wilds and stuff, like, and be a turn behind. Also, a green card that I would like to note that is worth purchasing that I'm going to purchase for Modern is Skyclave Pickaxe, which is literally, like, 1 mana, enters the battlefield. It's a green mana, enters the battlefield, attaches itself to a creature, and it gets +2/+2 on landfall. Like, so it's just, like, another...
Pickaxe.
Yep, Skyclave Pickaxe.
Okay. Oh, for that deck, attached to a creature. Yeah, automatically attaches. Yeah, that seems good.
Yep.
Okay, I think I'll pass on Skyclave Pickaxe, though.
Yep.
Okay, I put Nissa of Shadowed Bows on the list. By the way, I'll pick Brushfire Elemental for Modern if I didn't make that clear. I think I'm passing on it for Pioneer, though. I don't know that it's doable.
No.
Nissa of Shadowed Bows is the green-black Nissa. I passed on the other Planeswalkers. I didn't put them on the list, but... This green-black one has landfall at a loyalty to it. It is 4 base loyalty. Cost is 2 black-green. I don't know if I said that. I lost track. +1, untap target land you control. You may have it become a 3/3 elemental creature with haste and menace until end of turn. It's still a land. Okay. -5, you may put a creature card with converted mana cost less than or equal to the number of lands you control onto the battlefield from your hand or graveyard with +2/+1 counters on it.
Oh, the graveyard part is not the thing is not a thing I noticed. So like,
yeah,
let's talk about how we can do broken things with this. So like, you play this on turn four, you plus it. You go to turn five, you play a fetch land. That's six. You break that. It's seven. Is there a seven CMC creature we can cheat into play that wins the game?
That wins the game. Yeah, it's less than the number of lands you control. So.
Oh. Her loyalty, it's a number of lands. Yeah. So is there a five CMC creature we see in the play that wins the game?
I mean, like, I'm thinking like strong ones include like Elder Gargaroth type of stuff, but
yeah, okay, you're talking about fair things. I'm trying to figure out if we can do something totally unfair.
Probably for five mana.
No, yeah, so I mean, this is totally playable. I'm gonna buy it for both formats, but yeah, like, this is just a good thing in general. It's like a good resiliency piece.
I'll take it just for Pioneer. I think it's just a good value, like Jund Rock style Planeswalker and Pioneer. Okay, Omnath, Locus of Creation, red, green, white, blue. Everybody knows what this one does. I'm not gonna read it. A bunch of landfall triggers.
Pioneer, both formats, please.
Both formats. Okay.
Dude, put this thing in the Elementals deck.
Oh, yes, that's okay. Yes, both formats for me too. I forgot that was a thing, and I did see someone talking that deck up big time. So
I shouldn't have said anything and just took my free points.
Yeah,
but I figured I'd be nice to you because, like, Risen Reef and this thing,
yeah,
besties.
Yep. Oh. Yeah, that is a real deal. Elementals deck is good, and the mana base in Modern is like so cushy for it. Like. Like between Cavern of Souls and Unclaimed Territory and Ancient Ziggurat, it's like it doesn't really matter that you're playing like all of these like mismatched five color creatures and then like freaking Omnath, Locus of Creation. Like, you will have no problem with that. And then you've got the one mana elemental that just tutors up anything you want too. It's just silliness. You can do whatever the hell you want in that format with tribal decks. The next one I pulled up, this one's weird. I don't even know what to make of it, but I thought we'd talk about it. Yasharn, Implacable Earth, two green white for an elemental boar, 4/4. When it enters the battlefield, search your library for a basic forest and a basic plains. I thought that was at least cool. Players can't pay life or sacrifice non-land permanents to cast spells or activate abilities.
I mean, this already exists as a card, but this is a much easier version of it to cast that instead of giving you +1/+1, it gives you two lands.
Yeah.
I think this is playable in Pioneer for sure at 4 mana. I don't know if I'm particularly interested in it in Modern. Like,
what do you want this ability for in Pioneer?
I mean, I guess it's better in Modern. It's better in Modern, but like, I feel like it's just like a playable 4/4 in Pioneer. It's kind of hard. Like, there isn't really anything to think of. Like, so I guess it's just not good in either format because like people aren't playing Field of Jubilation, right?
Yeah.
Even though you can shut off like fetch lands and Thoughtseize and Phyrexian mana things and sacrifice things, like,
yeah,
people aren't playing, so it's just not good enough.
I really like the fact that it finds you two basics though. That seems really nice. I'm gonna pick it for Modern. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it's gonna show up as like a one of in like some weird decks. I don't know. I got a feeling about this one.
Sure.
Moving on. Forsaken Mine. Okay, so we're in artifacts, unless there's any more gold.
No, I'm good on gold.
Alright, Forsaken Monument. I'm seeing some talk about this one in sideboard of Eldrazi Tron. Mythic, 5 mana. Colorless creatures you control get +2/+2. Whenever you tap a permanent for colorless, add an additional colorless. Whenever you cast a colorless spell, gain 2 life. I've played a lot of Eldrazi Tron in my time, and I have to say, this is not the type of thing that I want to get out of my Karn Wish board necessarily.
No, I think this is terrible.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm going to pass on it. I feel like people are going to try it because it seems to be designed for that type of deck. But if you're looking for answers, like, this isn't an answer. This just seems like a win more to me.
Correct.
However, it could be used in other ways. Like, this could be like the Tempered Steel style card. But Tempered Steel is maybe just a lot better. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll just pass.
I mean,
okay.
That's 5 mana.
Yeah.
That's hard. 5 mana is hard.
Okay. And then I just passed through all the rest of the artifacts except for one. Skyclave Relic, I think, is really, really cool. It is a 3 mana, indestructible. Tap for any mana of any color, which is Darksteel Ingot, right? Better yeah. than. And then it has Kicker 3, and when you pay the Kicker, it comes into play with two buddies. It creates two token copies of itself that are tapped. So for 6 mana, you can get 3 artifacts that all produce 1 mana of any color, which, like, that's a lot of mana for 6, right? You can there's some good ramping that you can do, but it's also, like, quantity. Like, there are decks that care about the number of artifacts you have in play. So yeah. I don't know where this belongs, but I feel like there's some interest in this in the world of Pioneer. And
yeah,
I haven't figured it out yet, but I feel like there's some value to this. This is unique enough where I've got to pick it.
Okay, I'm going to pass on it.
Okay.
But yeah, I you know, I can tell you where it and another card on this list I would like to see is those are EDH stompers.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, that card's really good in EDH. Alongside with Engine, also going to be a good one in EDH.
Yeah, yep. I have got my copies of Skyclave Relic for Commander. Don't you worry.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to go buy.
Yeah, in there, that one's got a showcase art too. If you're interested in that, so.
Nope. You know me. Hate them foils. Get them out of here.
No, they're not foil. They're just showcase, just full art.
Don't want to spend $100.
All right. The lands now. So lands. So first thing on lands is the dual face lands. They are not basic land types. They are just dual face. You can choose green side or white side. You can choose white or black, blue or black, red or green, red or white, blue or red. And
great,
you know, put them in play.
Not good enough modern.
For both formats?
Yeah, for both formats, I think.
I don't see why not, right? Like, there's got to be some modern decks that are interested in at least a couple of them.
Yeah. Both formats.
Yeah, same here. This is, I think, the biggest boon here is for Pioneer. I think Pioneer is just clamoring for some effective and efficient dual face lands, and so I think we're gonna see lots of play.
Just need the other 4.
Yeah. All right. And last card on the entire list, and then we're done. Crawling Barrens. Crawling Barrens is a colorless land. It says tap to add a colorless, or pay 4 to put 2+1/+1 counters on it. You may have it become a 0/0 elemental until end of turn. It's still a land.
This card is insanely good in Pioneer.
You think so?
What
context?
Control decks.
Okay. For 4 mana.
So you may turn it into a land. So it's raging. I mean, it just gets bigger. Like at the end of turns where you're like your opponent might have removal, but like you're doing nothing.
Yeah.
You just pay 4 mana to pump this thing. And you just keep pumping it until you grind them out of cards or get to the point where you're like, all right, I have some counter spells. I'm going to activate this thing, put 2 more counters on it, attack you for 16 or whatever.
Yeah. Huh. You know what's interesting about it is you can tap it to pay for that 4 when you're just doing it that way too.
Correct.
Hmm.
Yeah, very nice finisher for control decks. I think it will compete with Castle Ardenvale for spots, and I don't know which one is better.
Yeah, I think Castle Ardenvale is better. I think I'm going to pass on Crawling Barrens. On Crawling Barrens. It's a little too mana intensive for me.
Sure.
All right. So there you have it. Zendikar. That's it. Boom.
Done. Clap it up.
All right. So we will catch you next time.
Take it easy.
On Metacall. Goodbye.
Modern Metacall is a production of CardKnockLife.com, where you can find a selection of MTG content, both written and recorded. Looking for deck primers? We've got them. Interested in videos? Try our CKL Play series, where we take the most interesting decks appearing in published results for a spin through MTGO leagues. We've got a team of talented writers specializing in a variety of formats and archetypes. To keep up with CardKnockLife offerings, you can follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CardKnockLifePodcast. Thanks is due to ManaTraders.com, MTGCast.com, and TheDiscard.com for their support in making this possible, and thank you for listening, commenting, sharing, and reading CardKnock Life content.